All right, everybody, welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, my co-host, Bruce Gunther. Bruce, how are things?
Hey, good. Good evening, everybody.
We are without our comrade John tonight, but that's okay. It's Father's Day. So, hey, happy Father's Day, everyone, to all the dads out there. Bruce, how was your Father's Day?
It was good. In-laws were here tonight, so did a bit of a barbecue and kids enjoyed it. It's all good.
Good stuff. I don't know if you saw it or not. I got a Connor McDavid print for Father's Day.
Oh, nice.
From my wife. Brandy Hofer is an artist in Lloydminster where Legacy DIY is. Mm-hmm. And, that's where that print came from. And so I'm excited to get that one hanging up in my office. I posted on the Twitter feed earlier. So if you want to check it out, go there. Also a little plug for Brandy Hofer. She does some really cool stuff. So
awesome. Excellent.
I guess we'll jump into the hockey news here then, Bruce. So hey. June 16th, there's an announcement, the NHL and Action Network, they are teaming up for a content partnership for the remainder of the playoffs. Action Network is a great resource for sports betting and fantasy sports. If you're looking at, you know, what the money line is or the over under odds, things like that. They've got some prop bets there too. If you're looking at prop bets, you know, DFS, fantasy, just season-long fantasy. They've got some really good stuff there. So check them out, Action Network. I will include the information from that tweet in the show notes here as well. So be sure to check those.
Good. That's great news for the NHL, and especially with the sports betting now becoming more and more popular across the U.S. and into Canada now. So that's good.
I mean, with FanDuel and DraftKings and, you know, they've got Action Network. There's all these things that, I mean, sports betting is just becoming more and more popular, right? And so it's good to see that the NHL is really committed to that. And the NHL, their fantasy department is obviously on board with that too and working with them.
You bet.
That's good to see.
No, that's great for everybody involved.
Yeah. Also on the 16th, Pierre LeBrun had reported that trade talks around Jack Eichel were starting to get more serious. Teams that he believes makes sense include the Los Angeles Kings, Minnesota Wild, the Anaheim Ducks, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the New York Rangers. You know, of those teams, I think the most intriguing for me would be either the Rangers or Minnesota. I don't know. What do you think there, Bruce? Like, the Rangers seem to be in on these types of things all the time. They've got some cap room, I think. It'd be nice to see him there with a guy like Zibanejad.
Yeah. And I think for Eichel too, he would be probably, does he have a no trade clause?
That's a good question.
Let's just give me a quick second here and check that.
Yeah.
Please hold while we check this out. Buffalo. He does not. He has nothing. So he doesn't get to pick where he gets to go. So I guess it'll be whoever gives Buffalo the best deal. If I'm sure if Eichel could pick himself, he would lean towards Minnesota and the Rangers because they're probably out of all of these teams, well, possibly Philly too. They're the closest to getting into the playoffs year after year. Hell, the Rangers, if they wouldn't have been in their own division this year, they would have made the playoffs. So,
well, I mean, I'm just looking at the Rangers lineup here. Like you've got Lafreniere, Zibanejad, Buchnevich. And then after that, it's maybe a little bit thin. Right. So I can understand that, but they've got a really, like, they've got a stud in Adam Fox on D2, right? So if you look at that, there's some options there. And most of these guys are a little bit younger. And that's kind of what I like is that Jack Eichel can jump in there and he's playing with some guys that are kind of in his own age bracket where in Minnesota, they kind of do have a bit of an aging team, right? Like
they're a little everywhere.
Guys like Zuccarello, older guy. Erickson Ek's a good young player. Kaprizov, assuming he signs there, is good, but
it would be something, hey, if all of a sudden Minnesota can't get Kaprizov signed, flip him for Eichel.
Yeah,
that would be.
I had that in our notes here. I think. But we might as well just bring it up now. So sounds like he hasn't signed, and they're kind of like discussions have halted from what I hear. He went back to Russia, and apparently CKSA or whatever the Moscow team is in the KHL is interested in offering him a contract right now.
Who wouldn't be interested in offering him a contract right now? Like,
well, sure, but that's a massive misstep by the Minnesota Wild if they can't get that deal done. Like, I don't understand why after the season he had, you wouldn't just back up the Brinks truck for him and say, yeah, well, let's get it done. Like, come back.
Well, they got a couple of cap issues there too in there. Deal with too, right? So,
but there's some leeway there too, right? And the expansion draft's coming up, so I would just sign the deal and because they give you, was it 10% over the cap?
Yeah,
like heading into the season kind of thing, so you can make some adjustments as needed. But I don't know, you don't let a guy like that go, right?
Yeah, I know. If you're letting you let him go, that's ouch. Like that's a big time
loss for them for sure.
And he is, he's
keeping in theme with the contract talk. Jason Spezza signed his third consecutive league minimum deal for $750,000 to stay with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was quoted as saying, "I would take less if I could." His main concern is winning a Stanley Cup, and really, that's great to hear from a veteran player like that. If you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's music to your ears, right?
For sure. And during that series with Montreal, he was arguably their best player. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, he's done well. I think he even thinks he's going to come back and potentially put up as good or better season next year. So,
well, he needs what, 30 points to hit 1,000?
Again, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. Is he close?
I think I read somewhere he's 30 points away from 1,000. So if he can get a full season in, that's playing the way he's been playing. That's it's definitely the realm that he could hit 1,000 points next season. That's another big step. Although he'll probably just brush it off, but that's big too.
Yep. Quick note here. Looks like John is hoping to jump on here in a couple of minutes. So
excellent.
A little midstream guest, I guess. We're really expecting, but so if John all of a sudden jumps in, don't be surprised. All right, so keep an eye out for that. Moving on. On the 17th, Rod Brind'Amour signed a 3-year contract extension with the Carolina Hurricanes. Brind'Amour is also your Jack Adams winner for this year. So it was a big day for him to win the Jack Adams and sign a contract all on the same day. Glad to see him back in Carolina. I think the players really like him there. I think he wants to be there. Basically said he didn't want to coach anywhere else.
Yeah, I think that team would have fell apart if he would have left too. He seems to be the glue that holds that team together, right? It's
definitely
he loves it. He loves it there, and they love him there. And Jack Adams just solidifies how good of a coach he is.
That's right.
Like they weren't a couple years ago. It's like, oh, they're an okay team, right? But it was Brind'Amour behind the bench. They're now moving up almost into elite territory there. So
they definitely are. Yeah, I would say they're in that top 8 of the league for sure at this point.
Because they've got depth everywhere, right? They got forward depth. They got defensive depth. They're going to get their goalie thing figured out here over the offseason. So they're in great shape going into next season.
Well, they've got options. So even if Mrazek and Reimer aren't back next season, like they've got Nedeljkovic, and there are lots of goalies from what I've seen available on the free agent market. So if they want to go out and sign somebody to replace those other two guys, you know, by all means.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Nedeljkovic should be your guy in goal anyway next year, but we'll see what happens.
It'd be his spot to lose.
That's right. Agreed. Also on the 17th, we had nominees for the GM of the year. So Mark Bergevin of Montreal, Lou Lamoriello from the Islanders, and Bill Zito from Florida. If I had to pick right now, I'm probably going to say Lou Lamoriello takes that one, but what do you think?
I'm thinking the same thing. Mark Bergevin looks really good on there because of how well Montreal did in the playoffs. In the regular season, it's kind of like, well, you know, they just kind of eked into the playoffs, right? But
totally,
the playoff run makes that look a lot better, but they don't include the playoff run when you're voting in this. So I might vote for Lamoriello because how can you not vote? Like, Zito had
Yadi. That's kind of silly the way they do it, right? Because you've got the voting takes place, I think, after the second round of the playoffs. Oh, hold on a second here.
Here he is.
John.
Hey, John.
Can we hear you?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you.
Awesome. Sorry, I just got cut up here with some Father's Day stuff. So,
no, no problem. I'm back, that's great. You could jump on. We're just talking about nominees for the GM of the year.
Ooh.
So we just said Bergevin, Lamoriello, and Zito from Florida.
Yep.
Bruce and I are kind of in agreement. It's probably going to go to Lamoriello.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that?
I would have to agree with the way he's turned that club. I would wholeheartedly, I'd pick him, certainly.
The only thing, so we're just getting into this about how, like, the voting takes place after the second round of the playoffs.
Yep.
And Bruce made a good point. He said, doesn't make sense that, you know, Bergevin looks really good right now because of how long or how deep they've gone into these playoffs.
Yep.
But if they had flopped in the first or second rounds, you know, does he really look that good given that Montreal wasn't a juggernaut in the regular season?
Right.
And yeah, if you're going to include playoff performances, you should include playoff performances the entire way through and then vote on GM of the year at the end of the Stanley Cup final, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, certainly. Because, yeah, the way Montreal's been playing is certainly helping Bergevin's case. But also, I guess the Islanders, they've really been putting it to Tampa and everyone else they've been playing. So I would you certainly have to give him a good look there.
Alrighty. With that, we'll move on. So Braden Point continues to impress in these playoffs, 11 goals in 14 games, 65 points in 58 playoff games in his career. He just keeps doing it. Braden Point in the playoffs. Yeah. I just wanted to mention again, we've talked about him lots on this show, but man, oh man.
Yeah. And it's
what a player,
a 7-game goal streak. So
yeah,
they had said, if he scores in the next game, he will move into, so there's a whole bunch of them tied at 7-game goal streaks. If he scores in the next game, he goes to 8. There is, so there, I forget who was, there's one person at 11. He would be at 8, and then there's a whole bunch at 7. They were, they were showing it on when they were the game last night, and there's some pretty elite people in there. Like Mario was in there twice. A whole bunch of Habs back from their heyday were in there. And I can't remember who had the 11-game streak, though.
I couldn't tell you, to be honest, but
it was just, it was a Hockey Hall of Fame highlight reel looking at the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just I was just going to say, playoff Braden Point, he's got to be one of the top playoff performers I've seen. It's just uncanny how he's getting pucks in the net and just making everyone else around him better too, it seems.
Yeah, he's an elite. He's an elite center in the league. There's no doubt.
Definitely.
Okay, enough left for Braden Point. June 18th, Alexander Barkov was nominated as, announced as the 2021 Selke Award winner. He had 58 points, 26 goals in 50 games, an 82-game pace of 95 points, and just under 21 minutes of ice time per game. I really like Alexander Barkov generally for his offensive prowess, but he has shown that he can play well defensively too. I'm not sure he would have been my choice this year, just given the competition that he was up against. I think Patrice Bergeron had an unreal season as well. In terms of defensive play, I think he led the league in faceoffs one again. He put up points. Plus minus was good. All those things. Mark Stone is the other nominee in that category. Like, that's tough competition, and Barkov walked away with it. And I mean, I still think there's some other players that should have been some consideration there. But anyway, congrats to Barkov. He is a good player, and regardless of whether or not he statistically blew it out of the water this year, he is your winner. So what do you guys think?
I'd agree with the pick, only because, like I brought up, was it last week or the week before, Bergeron's won it enough. at some point, someone's got to take the reins on that one. And Mark Stone, fantastic player. Not my top 10 guy, obviously, but really good player, good guy. But I just don't think he deserved it as much as Barkov did.
Well, all right, fair enough.
And too, like Bruce. This year too, right? So he had his own line. Huberto got moved to the second line, so he's playing top. He's playing against all the top lines all the way through with two wingers he basically hadn't played with before. So it's big kudos to him, and there was no lack in production and strong defensively because big reason why Florida ended up where they did in the playoffs, right? So he's a big reason why they got there.
Yep.
Yeah, so well deserved.
Okay, moving on here again. On the 18th, the Canadians did win game 3. They took a 2-1 series lead. Harry Price made 43 saves in that game, where the Habs were largely outplayed by the Golden Knights.
And one huge assist.
Cole Caulfield and Josh Anderson. Anderson had 2 goals in that game. Petrangelo continued his hot streak for Vegas. Those are kind of some guys we've talked about a lot on the show, but I couldn't believe Harry Price with 43 saves in that game. And they squeaked it out, surprisingly, despite being outplayed completely.
Well, you can't also discard the wonderful assist there by Marc-Andre Fleury for their first goal.
Yes.
That was a big old boy.
I can already see John crying.
Yeah. I know I had texted you earlier about my opinion on it, kind of, and first I want to say that watching Cole Caulfield play is just something else.
He's incredible.
He just brings so much energy, and he's always got a smile on his face, it seems, and he just rubs off on his line mates for sure.
He was so good again tonight too.
He was very good tonight too.
Go ahead.
I say I wish I was able to watch the game, but unfortunately, I didn't have the time to get to it. So,
well, Father's Day, so to be expected. We should mention too, Dominic Ducharme was confirmed to have COVID just prior to the game. Sounds like he'll be out for whatever the quarantine period is, 2 weeks. Unfortunate news, but it looks like Luke Richardson's taken over and they've been good. I guess, you know, we'll just kind of skip ahead to tonight's game as well. So they did end up losing in overtime. Vegas takes game 4. So that series is now tied up at 2. And just as you had alluded to, John, Robin Leonard got the start in game 4. So after Fleury's gaffe in game 3, which was a pretty egregious error on his part.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so not a good look. And then they lose in overtime on Josh Anderson. And there was a nice goal by Josh Anderson, actually, too, by the way.
That was incredible, that overtime goal.
Yeah, nice hand-eye coordination, makes a good play. Paul Byron, he's another guy we'll talk about here in a bit with our DFS picks. But so now they went to Robin Leonard. He gets the win in game 4, bails out the team. They go back to Vegas, tied at 2. If you are Peter DeBoer, are you going back to Fleury, or are you going to start Robin Leonard in game 5? And Bruce, I'll start with you because I kind of know where John stands on this, yeah. But I want to hear your opinion first, Bruce.
I think I would stick with Leonard for the next game.
Based on his play?
Just based on his play tonight. He was locked in, and I think after tonight's performance, I think he deserves another night.
That's not an unreasonable point. He did come in and play well and won a big game for them. That was a monumental win for Vegas, because if you go down 3-1,
yeah, it's
you're in trouble, right?
Yeah, Vegas is going home now. They're tied, so they've got 2 more home games. Montreal's got 1 more home game, so it gets tough for Montreal now, right? They got to win 2. They got to win at least 1 on the road and 1 at home. So.
Well, Kevin Bieksa was talking on the panel tonight, and he thinks they're going to be in tough now, Montreal, right? Because they lost this game. He said if they lose this game tonight in overtime, they're going to be in really tough to win the series.
Yeah.
John, before we get to you, I will say that I think they'll go back to Fleury. I just feel like they started Leonard, was it in game one against Colorado, just because they thought Fleury needed some rest. I feel like this is kind of a similar situation where they're saying, okay, yeah, we're going to give you the night off because maybe you just needed a mental break. And he's been the guy for them the entire playoff run, most of the regular season. I would be surprised, I think, if they went back to Leonard in game five, but time will tell. So, John, what do you think?
I'm in the same boat as you there. I think that after that little mistake in the in the previous game, I think they just think he needed a reset, and so they gave him the night off. I really hope he's in the next game. I hope Flower is. He's the third winningest goalie in NHL history, and I've never seen someone get thrown around as much as he does. Makes one, two little mistakes or big mistakes in this situation, but he's been rock solid for that team all year, and just to have that and all of a sudden they're going to replace him just for one slip of the puck there. I don't like it, but I think the team just decided that he needed a reset, and I think he's going to be in next game.
Did you?
Okay. Well, all fair points. That's kind of how I see it. Like I said, we'll see. I think that's part of why they have Robin Lehner there, right? They want to have some goaltending depth. Or everyone needs goaltending depth, right?
Well, yeah, and the game he lost, that Lehner lost in Colorado, you couldn't blame that game on Lehner because the team in front of him basically took the night off and just hung him out to dry. So there wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they took all they could handle from Minnesota in seven games. And then I think they had the one off night and then they're right back at it for game one against Colorado.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There was some trash goals he let in, but.
Yeah. But I mean, he was basically a sacrificial lamb, right? They threw him in there knowing that they're probably going to get ripped in the first game, and they're okay with that. And then they thought, well, okay, Fleury will have 3 or 4 days rest, and we'll go again.
And he knew too that he was in for the entire game. So if he gets lit up, he's not getting pulled. He's in for the full 60 minutes. So it's
exactly. Okay, a couple of the bits of news here: the New York Islanders did tie their series with Tampa. Point. We talked about him already. Kulak made that game-saving block. Bruce, you and I were talking about that earlier. John, I don't know if you saw the play.
I did see the play. That was incredible. He gets number one star in my book.
Yeah. The rumor is he passed Corey Schneider on the depth chart.
Well, that's not a hard thing to do.
No, you're setting the bar pretty low there, but that's good to see.
That was a hell of a save. That was a hell of a move by Kucherov. Actually,
what's that?
That was a hell of a move by Kucherov, right? To reverse that like that
and the spinorama.
Like if Pulak wasn't there, that goes in the net. There's nothing stopping us other than Pulak.
Yeah. And then that game goes to overtime, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff there. You know what? I'm kind of cheering for the Islanders. I said just because of Jordan Eberle, I'd like to see him get to the Cup final, right? But they're playing well. That team deserves to have some success and make a Cup final, I think. Not that Tampa doesn't, but
they're working hard.
I like the way the Islanders are playing.
They're working Tampa hard. Like Tampa had to push awfully hard in the third period to get to get two goals back just to get them within one. Like that guys were talking in the intermission, if we didn't see McElhinney come out in the third period, I'm like, no, that's not going to happen, because if they put him in there, the Islanders will light him up like a Christmas tree. It's Vasilevskiy's coming out, and it's the dreaded three-goal lead in the NHL. It looks good on paper, and it looks good on the scoreboard, but when you're on the ice, it evaporates fast, and it did again.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also in the 19th here, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is reported to be on the trade block again. He is a 30-year-old defenseman. He's got 6 years remaining on his contract with an AAV of $8.25 million. Who takes a chance on this guy? If you're like, are there any possible trades you can see? Like, I really don't like the term or the dollar, given his performance the last couple of years. Like, Jacob Chychrun is past him as the number one defenseman on that team.
Definitely.
hence why he's on the trade block. But if that cap it, like, they're probably going to have to eat some salary, I think.
I'm guessing they're going to have to eat almost half of it.
Yeah.
Before they'll get any, before they'll get any takers.
Wholeheartedly agree with Bruce.
So, again, because we're all Oilers fans around here, if you're the Oilers, would you, let's play hypothetically here and say Klefbom's done. You need a left-handed defenseman. Would you bring him in at $4.2 million a season?
Nope.
For 6 years?
I wouldn't.
No?
Me neither. Nope.
Nope. I wouldn't touch him.
Hmm. Well, you guys are downers.
I just think we have enough defensive depth that we, I think we're good.
Yeah, I don't know that we need him either. I'm just, again, playing hypothetical, but I guess for us, for the Oilers, like, we need to know what's going on with Klefbom, right? That's that's a big one, because that's over $4 million on the cap each season, and if he's not back, we've got lots of cap space to play with. But well, if he is, great, because if he comes back, he's no worse than your third best defenseman.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And two, if he doesn't, so if the any of the Oilers expose him, there's going to be lots of options open, like,
yeah,
for a defenseman here, free agency and stuff like that. So,
okay, well, I mean, I just wanted to bring up Ekman Larson because he was at one point a fantasy hockey relevant defenseman, not so much these days, but we should talk about the news, right? So, moving on, Jacob Slavin won the Lady Bing Trophy with just two PIMs, I think. Two or maybe all three of us voted on for him as our Lady Bing candidate. Good to see it happen. He had a good season in Carolina.
Did you see what his penalty was?
No.
It was a delay of game for throwing the puck over the glass.
Of course it was.
I read that this morning and it just made me laugh. And I was like, yeah, I knew I picked him for a reason.
Yeah.
That's incredible, though. Like, for a defenseman.
Didn't even do anything.
Right?
Like, for a defenseman, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Definitely deserving. Okay, well, I think that takes us to the conclusion of the news for the week. Let's get into some DFS picks here. First on the board, Josh Anderson. So we just talked about him earlier. His DraftKings salary is $5,000. He's averaging 7.7 fantasy points per game over his last 10 contests. He's been relatively quiet. He's only got 2 goals, 17 shots on goal, 2 block shots and 40 hits in those 10 games. And he's averaging 13.5 minutes of ice time, but he has been better as of late. Again, he just had 2 goals in game 3 and he's looked good this whole series. I think, he's playing on a very effective line, which kind of brings us to the other guy that I wanted to mention was Paul Byron. So his DraftKings salary is only $2,600. It's going to go up. He's averaging 4.3 fantasy points per game over his last 10 contests. He's got 4 points. Again, just 7 shots on goal and 8 block shots. But he's playing on that line with Anderson and Kotkaniemi. He had the game-winning goal in game 2, and he had the assist on Josh Anderson's game-winning goal in game 3, right? So he's been very, very effective. He's a bit of a boom or bust play, but I like stacking those guys together, right? If you had Anderson and Paul Byron, it's a pretty cheap stack for some guys that are putting some points in the bird. What do you guys think?
Especially if you're picking some heavy top end guys. So if you've got Point and Kucherov and stuff like that, up Barzal, like, coming up, if you've got the expensive guys at the top, you need some value to put in there. That's something to look at, right? So,
yeah.
And I think all of Byron's goals have come on the breakaways in the playoffs here. So
yeah, he's been getting in behind the defense, right? And actually the one that he had tonight was just at the end of the penalty kill. Like,
yeah.
So it was almost a shorthanded goal, but not quite. So he's a very effective bottom six or middle six forward. And he's a guy that I think the Oilers should probably be looking at in the offseason, because I believe he's a UFA too, if I'm not mistaken. But if you're looking for a value pick, Paul Byron, Josh Anderson's a little bit more. I did look at the expected goals and expected goals percentage on moneypuck.com, and Josh Anderson's kind of been at the top of the list for the Montreal Canadiens. So he's a guy that's been buzzing over the past 3 or 4 games. Bruce, you had mentioned you wanted to talk about some Islanders guys. So I'll let you take it away with the next guy on the list here.
So next guy on the list is Matthew Barzal. His DraftKings salary is $6,700. He's been averaging 9.9 fantasy points here over the last 10 contests. 9.6 goals, 25 shots on goal, 7 block shots in the past 9 games. He's averaging 16 minutes and 44 seconds on time on ice. And it's leading the Islanders in expected goals and goal percentage the past 2 games. And he's been freaking everywhere on the ice. Like, he has been,
he's been buzzing
where it's last year when you watched him play in the playoffs, he looked a little tentative. He didn't look like he's this year. He's just going, he's just mowing people down. Like he's shrugging defenders off and he's doing some wonderful things out there for the Islanders. And
well, he's got speed to burn and he's incredibly skilled.
Yeah.
So it's good to see him kind of break out here in the playoffs, and his salary is still reasonable at $6,700.
Absolutely. Like he's, pretty much assured that he's going to put up, so he's going to get a point at least in each game. That's the way he's been trending anyway. So,
well, him and Braden Point were my 2 centers on Friday night. And I think I texted you guys, both you guys, in a 200 team DFS play, I ended up second and I had those 2 guys in my centers. So
that's awesome.
Definitely a guy that I'd be keeping tabs on throughout the playoffs.
Oh, most definitely.
I just can't believe that with the production that he's put up, that he's only averaging 1644 on ice.
That's the Islanders, though, right?
They roll 4 lines.
That's incredible.
I think it was either another podcast I was listening to or an article I read. The Florida with the most amount of ice time for the Islanders has like 18 or 18 and a half minutes of ice time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you get into some of the other teams and their top guys are averaging over 20 minutes a game.
Well, Connor and Leon, they played 24 or 25 minutes even in the playoffs, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's good. To me, it's a good sign of team depth when you're playing, like a guy like Barzal is playing not even 17 minutes of ice time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Trotz has no trouble rolling all 4 lines. He's confident in all 4 lines. He just lets them roll.
Some other guys, like, you guys, is there any other forwards you guys want to talk about? I just had a few guys here. I should mention, like, I think Brock Nelson still, he's been producing quietly.
Yeah. Pageau has been wrecking havoc. I'm not sure. I haven't checked to see if it's fantasy relevant havoc, but he's been wrecking havoc with hits and shots. He's got some goals too. He's got some points too in the series. So
who else we got here that I was kind of looking at? I guess Josh Bailey. Josh Bailey's been fairly effective, you know, both through the regular season and the playoffs here. And then, of course, just the usual suspects, right? Like you're always going to spend up for a guy like Kucherov or Point. Obviously, we talked to him a lot. So, okay, with that, then we'll go on to defensemen here. We've been beating this drum for a couple weeks now, but. I didn't have another defenseman I really wanted to throw out there. So I'm just going to mention quickly, Pietrangelo, like his salary is at $9,400. It continues to rise over the past couple weeks. He's averaging 21.85 fantasy points per game over his last 4 contests. I think he had like 30 points in the one game where he had 2 goals. He led all defensemen in game 4 here with 14 fantasy points and he didn't even score or have an assist. He had, I think it was 3 shots and 5 blocks or something. So yeah. He's really just dialed it up. He's averaging 27, almost 28 minutes a game. So I guess my point here is don't hesitate to spend up for Pietrangelo because he appears to be producing, you know, regardless of whether or not he's in the first power play unit or not. And so I'd be going after him.
That just shows how complete of a player he is.
Yeah, that was a massive acquisition for Vegas. Like that really just tipped them that much closer to being a cup contender.
Well, and it shows how much that he helps Vegas. But if you take a look at the way St. Louis played in the playoffs, you look at how big of a loss it was to him, right? Yeah, they brought in Torrey Krug to fill that spot in, but he just couldn't do it on the back end for him. It just shows.
Krug is not Pietrangelo, right?
No.
Like, offensively in Boston, like you put Krug in Boston when he's playing with the perfection line.
Yeah.
Sure, you can feed the puck to Pastrnak all day long. He's gonna fire off one timers and score goals.
Yeah.
That's great, but it's kind of like Barry and Edmonton, right?
Yeah.
But Pietrangelo, he's an elite defenseman in the league. So, mm-hmm. Bruce, I guess earlier, you know, off air, you and I were talking and saying not any one Islanders defenseman in particular, but any one of those top four guys. So, you know, Pelech, Pulak, Letty, and Mayfield. If any one of those four guys are probably safe bets, it seems like on any given night, one of them could be leading defenseman in points for the team or just in the contest. So, I mean, a guy like Pulak is going to have lots of block shots. He's playing on that first pairing with Pelech, right? So don't hesitate to give those guys a look, even if just for block shots and potentially some point production.
Yeah.
Might be a nice stack if you go Pelech or Pulak with Barzal, right?
And really, too, when you look at it, even for on a value play side, any of the other Vegas defenders, like they said tonight, the Vegas defense has had 43 points in this playoff so far.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points for your coming from your defenseman. So,
yeah.
So if you need a value play to any of the other defensemen, like obviously Theodore probably would be your leader there, but Martinez has done really well there too. Heck, on the power play, he comes down low. He's almost like a fourth forward. So
we like Martinez. He's another guy we've been beating the drum on. John, you're laughing. I don't know what you're laughing about, but
I actually just had someone send me a message about our podcast here, actually, and they sent me a screenshot. They're listening to one of the episodes, and they asked me who the heavy breather was. Sorry,
John is public enemy number one.
Don't worry, I'm trying to fix it.
Oh man, okay, that's good. We like listener feedback, so for sure, if you guys have any, please submit it.
Sorry for the interruption.
I love that. I think that's great. That's yep, that makes me laugh. Braden McNabb, I guess, is another guy. You know, he's playing on the second pairing for Vegas. He scored tonight. So again, if you're looking for some, I think he's only $3,100 in DraftKings. So if you're looking for a value play.
I was actually going to touch on that earlier when we were talking about players we could add to that. And I was just looking at the lineups, and I hadn't even realized that McNabb had scored tonight. But from the games that I'd watched, he's been all over the place too. His name's coming up constantly. And from what I'm hearing, he seems to be a decent pick.
Yeah, like he had just shy of 13 points tonight, and at $3,100, that's a pretty good value play. Like, he outplayed Martinez in terms of points, so at basically half the cost. You know, another guy, like we just talked about Pelech, in last night's game, he had two assists, one shot on goal, four block shots, and one hit. So he had almost 20 points in last night's game. So, you know, at $3,800, that's a really, really good value play. It can help you win your contests on any given night.
Definitely.
Give him a look.
Yep.
And then I guess finally, guys, we're going to go to goaltenders. And again, we've talked about Carey Price lots, but I'm going to mention him here again. His salary has jumped up. He's at $10,200. He's averaging 20.4 fantasy points per game over his last three contests. In those three games, he's got a .955 save percentage and a 4.1 goal saved above average, or goal saved above expected. Spend up, the price is right, just go get him. You know, they lost tonight in overtime in a tight one, but Carey Price has just been as dependable as any goaltender that's in the playoffs this year.
No, definitely. He's a big reason why Montreal is where they are. In the playoffs. It's playoff Carey Price.
43 saves of the night, right?
Yeah.
He stood on his head to keep him in there and win that game.
Yeah, exactly. Playoff Carey Price is something to see. He's just amazing.
I'll on a limb right now and just say it. I think if Montreal can get into the Cup final, he's going to be your Conn Smythe winner.
Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it might be a case of even if they don't win the cup, he could still be the Conn Smythe winner, assuming that he continues his play, right? Like if they lose in six or seven games and he continues playing the way he is, I wouldn't be shocked to see him win the Conn Smythe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly.
But okay, well, any other goaltenders, guys, you're looking at in DFS? Obviously, Vasilevsky is a big one, right? Every night, you can spend up for Vasilevsky.
Varlamov, too.
Yep. I'm just interested to see what the situation between Flower and Leonard is going to do for values.
Yeah, I don't know that Leonard's value is going to jump a ton. What was his salary at tonight? Well, he was at $8,000 tonight. So,
oh boy.
I would guess if he starts in game five, he might be closer to $8,400 or $8,500 bucks based on tonight's play. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I don't think he's going to start game five anyway. But we'll have to run a poll. I'll run a poll on the Twitter channel and just on the Twitter and see what people think. We'll get some discussion going. So if you guys want, I'll set that up here later tonight or tomorrow morning. Go check out our Twitter feed at FH Hacks. We'll run a Twitter poll. What do you guys think? Is Leonard or Fleury going to start in game five? Okay. Well, there's nothing else here, guys. Next week. Sorry, John. You have something?
Nope. I got nothing.
Okay. Well, next week we're going to kick off our Seattle expansion draft preview. We're going to go into the Scotia North Division and kind of give our thoughts and predictions on who's going to be exposed from each team, who we think Seattle's going to take, and try and take a stab at, you know, what that roster is going to look like in Seattle. So we'll continue doing that for a few weeks anyway. We'll go division by division. So definitely stay tuned for that. Check it out next week. As I said, check us out on Twitter at FHHacks, on Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks, or on our website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com. And if you want to email us any questions, comments, or otherwise, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. And with that, we'll sign off for this week, and we will talk to you guys in a little bit. Well, thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you. Good night, everybody.
Take care.